Welcome to the Ames International School of Ministry podcast with your host and instructor, Pastor Vince Rizzo. And now with today's lesson, here's Pastor Vince.
Welcome back. Today we're going to be dealing with chapter number 5, lesson number 5, and it's the world in the Word, the New Testament. And now the objectives of this particular lesson are, upon completion of this chapter, you're going to be able to write the key verse from memory. You're going to be able to explain how God's plan for the world was revealed in announcements of the birth of Jesus. You'll be able to summarize the worldview of Jesus as shown by his conduct. You'll be able to summarize what Jesus taught about the world and his mission. You're going to be able to explain the importance of the cross of Jesus and God's plan for the world. Your key verse is going to be found in John 17:4. For I have glorified thee on the earth, and I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. So, this chapter continues the study of the word of the world as it is presented in the Word of God, and it explains the biblical worldview revealed in the New Testament. Now, from the announcement of the birth of Jesus through his life, death, and resurrection, the New Testament emphasizes the world. Now, the same emphasis continues after the return of Jesus to heaven when the church goes forth to reach the nations with the gospel. Now, you're going to study more about the church in the world in the following chapter. So first off, we have the announcements of the birth of Jesus. The first announcement of the birth of Jesus is recorded in the New Testament was made by an angel to a woman named Mary, who was a virgin. And you can read about this in Luke chapter 1. The coming of Jesus to the world was part of God's plan revealed in the Old Testament. Mary and the Savior was coming. In Luke 1:55, it says, as he, God, spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. So you can read the announcement of the birth of Jesus by the angels in Luke 2:10 through 14. Note the phrases, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. In verse 10, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. That's verse 14. All men means all the people of the world. This announcement of the birth of Jesus reveals that he came for all the people of the world. Now, if there were no other statements anywhere in the New Testament to prove the gospel was intended for all men of the earth, this announcement would be sufficient. But the dedication of Jesus, when Jesus was taken to the temple for the dedication to God, as was the Jewish custom, Simeon recognized him as the promised Savior of the world. And you can read this incident in Luke 2:25-32. Simeon declared Jesus had come to reconcile God and man because he said this, the salvation prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles or the heathen. And again, that's Luke 2:31-32. Another New Testament prophecy concerning the mission of Jesus to the world was later given by Caiaphas, the high priest of the Jewish faith. He said, it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people and that the whole nation perish not. And this spake he not of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation. And not for that nation only, but also that he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. That's John 11:50-52. Then we have the story of John the Baptist. John the Baptist was a man chosen by God to prepare the people for the coming of Jesus. And you can read about the birth and God's plan for his life in Luke chapter 1. When John introduced Jesus to the people, he said, all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Jesus came to bring salvation for all mankind, according to Luke 3:3-6. John also referred to Jesus as the Lamb of God, sent to take away the sin of the world. In John 1:29, it says, in the next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and he said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Now, in the Old Testament, lambs were used as sacrifices for sin, and Jesus was to be God's sacrifice for sin. He would be a perfect final sacrifice. There would be no need to continue the Old Testament practice of sacrificing the blood of animals to obtain forgiveness for sin. John called Jesus the light of the world. In John 1, 9 through 10, it says, "That was the true light which lighteth every man and cometh into the world. He was not in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not." Next, we have the conduct of Jesus. Jesus revealed his great love for the world by his conduct during his earthly ministry. You can read about the feeding of the 5,000 in Matthew 14, 13 through 21. The disciples saw the crowd as an inconvenience, but Jesus saw them as an opportunity to show God's love. So you can read about Jesus and the woman of Samaria in John 4, 1 through 42. By this example, Jesus taught that there is no difference between races and God's provision of redemption from sin. The peoples of Samaria said in John 4, 42, "Now we believe not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and we know that he is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." So it was at this time that Jesus shared with his disciples the great vision of worldwide spiritual harvest. He said in John 4, 35, "Say not ye that there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white and already to harvest." He's told his disciples, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest, that he shall send forth laborers into his harvest." That's Matthew 9, 37 through 38. Also, you can read in Mark 14, 1 through 9, which tells how Mary anointed Jesus. Some people criticize her for pouring out the costly ointment on Jesus' head. But Jesus said in Mark 14, 9, "Wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of as a memorial for her." So by this statement, Jesus revealed it was his plan that the gospel should go to the whole world. You can read about the cleansing of the temple in Mark 11, 15 through 17. Jesus again emphasized the world as he said, "Is it not written that my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer?" And that's Mark 11, 17. So today, many of our centers of worship have departed from God's purpose. We need Jesus to cleanse us once again so we can fulfill his plan. And that plan is found in Isaiah 56, 7. He says, "Mine house shall be called a house of prayer for all people," or all nations. So in the teaching of Jesus, Jesus stressed God's plan for the world in his teaching as well as his conduct. And you can study the following passages in your Bible. In Matthew 5, 13, the followers of Jesus are to be salt of the earth and light of the world. And Matthew 6, 10 confirms that God has a will and a plan to be accomplished. In Matthew 6, 19, 16, 26, Mark 8, 36, John 12, 22 through 32, and John 12, 25, our concerns should not be worldly, but should be focused on that which is eternal. In Matthew 9, 6, and Mark 2, 10, and Luke 5, 24, Jesus has power to forgive sins. In Matthew 13, 35, Jesus revealed things about God's plan for the world, which he had been secret from the foundation of the world. In Matthew 21, 43, Jesus foretells the spread of the gospel to the Gentile nations. In Luke 4, 18 through 19, note the concern of Jesus for the needs of people of the earth. In Luke 12, 49 through 51, John 9, 39, and 12, 31, Jesus came to bring fire or judgment and division between righteousness and sin. In Luke 3, 28 through 29, Jesus taught of the gathering of all nations at the end of time. In John 3, 16 through 18, 12, 47, 17, 6, and 18, 37, these verses identify his purpose for coming into the world. In John 6, 33, 51, Jesus said he was the bread of life for any man, and he would give his flesh for the life of the world. In John 7, 7, Jesus spoke of the sinful condition of the world. In John 8:12, Jesus presented himself as the light of the world. Also, you'll find in 9:5 and 12:46. In John 8:23-26, Jesus said he was not of the world, but was sent to the world to speak God's message. In John 12:47, Jesus said that he came to save the world. In John 10:1-16, this passage predicts the gospel to be preached to the Gentile nations, or the sheep, not of the fold of Israel. So there was lines of separation would be removed as all people became sheep of one fold. In John 12:20-36, Jesus said that he would draw all men unto himself by dying for the sins of the world. He would draw men and women from every part of the world. In John 15:18-19, 16:33, 17:14-16, just as Jesus was rejected, so his followers would also experience rejection by the world. And then we have John 16:8. When the Holy Spirit came, he would reprove or convict the world of sin. So we have the parable of Jesus. Jesus told many parables during his earthly ministry. So parables are natural examples used to illustrate spiritual truths, and they have been called earthly stories with heavenly meanings. In the parables, Jesus revealed more about God's plan for the world. In the story of the Good Samaritan, Luke 10, the people of Israel did not have a good relationship with the Samaritan people. The question, "Who is my neighbor?" had long been discussed among the religious leaders. So this story taught the proper attitude towards those of other cultures. Then we have the story of the prodigal son, Luke 15. The attitude of the elder brother in this story was that, like that of any religious leaders in Israel at the time of Jesus, they did not want the love of God extended to other nations. And they resented the fact that those of other nations would come to know the salvation of God. So, if we are critical of Israel, we must remember that many in the modern church have the same attitude. We rest securely in the blessings of the gospel with little concern about those still in the heathen darkness without Jesus. We have the great feast in Luke 14:16-24. This story reveals Israel was given the first opportunity to enter the kingdom but rejected the invitation. The call would now go out to all those in the highways and the hedges of the world. Then we have the story of the husbandman in Matthew 21:34-44. Jesus revealed that Israel was intended to be the keepers of God's vineyard but failed in this responsibility. We have the story of the wheat and the tares found in Matthew 13:36-43. The field in this parable represented the world. The word of God is to be scattered throughout the entire world, and at the end of the world, the spiritual crop it has produced will be reaped by God. In Mark 4, we have the sower. The seed, which is the word of God, is to be scattered throughout the fields of the world, and it will fall into many types of spiritual soil and produce different results. Then we have the spread of the kingdom, Matthew 13. Jesus used several parables to illustrate how the gospel of the kingdom would spread throughout the world. You can read the stories of the grain of mustard seed, the leaven, the candle, the net, the hidden treasure, the pearl of great price, and the householder in Matthew 13. Then we have the rejection of Jesus. Because Israel refused the message brought by Jesus, the Lord used many examples to illustrate the seriousness of their rejection. Then we have the 10 lepers. That's Luke 17:12-19. In this incident, one Samaritan leper returned to give thanks, while the 9 Israeli lepers did not. Jesus drew attention to the fact that the Samaritan was thankful to God, while Israel took God's favor for granted. This contrasted the response to the gospel by Israel and the Gentile nations. Then we have the Syrophoenician woman in Matthew 15:21-28. The first response of Jesus seemed harsh, but he had a special purpose. Jesus intended that her faith would be revealed and serve as an example and rebuke to Israel. Granting of her request shows that the mercy of God is not limited by national boundaries. Then we have the centurion's servant, Matthew 8:5-12. This man was a Roman soldier, yet God's mercy was extended to him by the healing of his servant. Jesus said in Matthew 8:10, "Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." The statement of Jesus in verse 11 reveals that the gospel of the kingdom was for all people. In Matthew 8:11, he says, "I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven." Then we have the cross and the world. The death of Jesus on the cross was part of God's plan for the world. His death is the basis of salvation for the world. It is the central message of the entire Bible. Jesus often drew attention to the worldwide impact of the cross. In Matthew 2:28, it says he came to give his life as a ransom for many. Many means that many people of the whole earth. In Matthew 26:28, Jesus said his blood was shed for many for the remission of sins. In John 3:14 through 17, Jesus expressed God's love for the world as revealed by giving his son to die for the sins of mankind, whosoever meant all men of every nation. In John 6:51, he indicates that he will give his life for the world. And in John 12:32, Jesus said he would draw all men into himself for salvation. So the cross is a central theme of the writings of Paul, who reveals more of its global purposes. In Romans 5:12, 21, it says, "Through the sin of Adam, judgment came on all men, and through the death of Jesus on the cross, righteousness came upon all." In 2 Corinthians 5:14, 19, Jesus died for all, and God through Jesus reconciled the world to himself. In Galatians 1:4, Jesus gave himself for our sins according to the will of God. In Ephesians 3:6, 11, the heathen nations were to receive the benefits of the atonement of Jesus. In Colossians 1:20, peace and reconciliation with God through the death of Jesus on the cross. In 1 Timothy 1:15, Jesus came to save sinners. In 1 Timothy 2:5 through 6, there's only one mediator, Jesus Christ, through whom men of every tribe and nation gain access to the one true God. Hebrews 9:11, 12, Jesus suffered once for all the sins of men. In 1 John 4:9 through 14, John also draws attention to the worldwide impact of the cross. Jesus was sent into the world to be the Savior of the world. Then we have the finished work. As Jesus faced death on the cross, he said this in John 18:37, "To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." Through his death on the cross, Jesus proclaimed that the plan of God for reconciling the world was complete. In John 17:4, he says, "I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do." So then we have the commission of Jesus. 3 days after his death, Jesus was resurrected, according to Matthew 28. And Jesus made several appearances to his followers after his resurrection and before his return to heaven. Each time he met with them, he spoke to them about reaching the world with the gospel message. He gave them a challenge, which has come to be known as the Great Commission. In the following chapter, you're going to learn how his disciples fulfilled this challenge. So go ahead and do your chapter self-test and join me in the next lesson.
Thanks for listening to today's lesson. Sign up today and download your free digital lesson books when you join our free or low-cost accredited studies. For more information, visit us online at www.freebiblecollege.com.